it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get back to You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network.
Welcome back. This is You Better You Bet, presented by BetMGM on the BetMGM Network. Femi Abebefe hanging out with you guys here on this Overreaction Monday, the Monday following Week 2 NFL Sunday. And what a Sunday it was. And as we're learning over the last hour, a lot of ramifications from throughout the weekend with some of this quarterback injuries. 40 minutes from now, we'll get Nick's thoughts on the QB injuries as well as the Eagles winning again over the Kansas City Chiefs. That's coming up to begin the 4 o'clock hour. 20 minutes from now, NFL quick hits. We'll get to some of the other games from across the National Football League yesterday that I'll give my thoughts on. A couple of quick hitting takes and my opinions coming out of it, whether betting opinions or sports opinions. We'll go ahead and tackle it coming up in 20 minutes, as well as setting the table for tonight's Monday Night Football doubleheader. How about that one for you guys out there on the East Coast? 10 o'clock Eastern kick between the Chargers and the Raiders. Good luck staying up for that bad boy. But joining us right now, like he does each and every weekday at 3:20 Eastern, is our executive producer, Bill Zimmerman. Bill, what an afternoon, man. A lot's happening, man. How we doing?
Femi, I'm busy. That's how I'm doing. It's been a wild 24 hours here. You know, crazy game Sunday, crazy game Saturday even. We won't even have time to get to those. That's probably a Tuesday's content. But yeah, it's been, you got to love football, but yeah, a lot to react to on a Monday here. I'm not even sure how we're getting all this in 4 hours.
Yeah, I still haven't forgiven the holder for Notre Dame, by the way. Maybe we'll talk about that tomorrow in that game between A&M and Notre Dame. I mean, just successfully put the ball down, buddy. Like, what are we doing? Looking like Tony Romo in that wild card game against the Seahawks. Let's not open up old wounds here. But let's get to the top stories that we have on this Monday. Bill, what's the number one thing we need to know this afternoon?
Femi, we've got injuries, so let's jump in here. We're going to start with the Joe Burrow injury news. It's grade 3 turf toe for the Cincinnati Bengals signal caller. He is going to need surgery, and he will be out for a minimum of 3 months. They're saying if the Bengals are in contention, he could make it back by the end of the season. It's going to be Jake Browning starting for the 2-0 Bengals here, Femi, as they try and stay afloat and hope Burrow can get back here and save the season.
Yeah, I mean, how about this for the trade-off for the Cincinnati Bengals? All offseason, all training camp, all anyone could talk about was, can this team start fast? Can they win in week one? Can they win in week two? Well, this year they did it, and they no longer have their quarterback for the next 3 months. Like, I wonder if you gave Zach Taylor truth serum and you asked, hey, would you rather be 0-2 with Burrow healthy or 2-0 with Burrow out for 3 months? What would you take? Like, I think he would take the former. Like, he would take the 0-2. Like, he's not signing up for this where it's like, damn, now I got Jake Browning as my quarterback. And I'm not even throwing shade at Jake Browning. I love Jake Browning. Shout out to the Huskies. He led him to the playoff many, many moons ago. But, like, we all saw it yesterday. Like, Jake Browning's limited. He can function. He can run the offense, but he's limited. You know, you can only do but so much with Jake Browning, even with those stud wide receivers. But to back to the Joe Burrow part of this equation, I mean, like, this stinks, man. Like, this is now a third time that Burrow has a significant injury. Rookie year, tore his ACL, had the wrist injury a couple of years ago that had him out, and now this turf toe injury where he's out for 3 months? Like, I don't know if it's just bad luck or what's going on, but he just cannot stay healthy for a Bengals team where you look at their core, they should be contending for AFC championships and for Super Bowls. I mean, think about how this whole thing began back in 2021. They make the miracle run all the way to the Super Bowl, only to lose to the Rams. And then the next year, they go to the AFC title game and lose a nail-biter to the Chiefs. Like, that should be what's going on every year. And instead, it's Burrow injuries, it's a bad defense. And in the 1 year where they actually get off to a good start, Burrow now is going to be out for the foreseeable future. Like, I don't know how you can have any faith in this Bengals team going forward, because what they needed to be successful was to be like the best offense or one of the three best offenses in the league. That's just not going to be the case with Jake Browning. They could be solid. They could be like okay, but they're not going to be one of the best offenses in the league. And that's going to expose the hell out of that defense, which still is rotten. That defense is still bad. We saw them getting gashed against the Jacksonville Jaguars just yesterday. I bet Cincinnati. I laid three. When Burrow got hurt, I'm thankfully my ticket was digital. Otherwise, if it was a physical ticket, I'd have ripped that bad boy up and chalked it up as a loser. Somehow, some way, shout out to the Jaguars and Trevor Lawrence and Brian Thomas Jr. and whatever the hell they have going on over there. Shout out to them for just not being able to win games. Otherwise, there's no way I had a reason to cover that number laying three with Cincinnati. And even if you laid 3.5, you won with the Bengals winning by 4. But like, this is just such a damper on this Bengals season. A season that should have been optimistic, a season where it's like, hey, like, we need to find out if Zach Taylor is our coach. I don't know how this doesn't end with the Bengals missing the playoffs yet again. And this time, I think it might end with Zach Taylor losing his job at the end of the season. I think that that's how drastic this injury is. And I know a lot of people, like, from an award standpoint, like, Burrow was the most bet player to win MVP. You can rip those tickets up. Like, Ja'Marr Chase might win Offensive Player of the Year. You can forget about that one. Like, Trey Hendrickson, maybe DPOY. What if he leads the league in sacks? I mean, get real. Like, it's so many ramifications to where I think now, if you're from an awards better, you want no Cincinnati Bengals. That goes without saying. But also for futures betters in that AFC North, I mean, the Baltimore Ravens, they're waltzing to the title once again, aren't they? Pittsburgh lost yesterday. Cleveland looks like a disaster. Baltimore just destroyed them. And now it's Jake Browning for the next 3 months. How did the Ravens not win this division by multiple games? Massive, massive coup for the Baltimore Ravens and for the Cincinnati Bengals. Once again, a bummer that this is how it ends. And for Jacksonville, final thoughts on the Jaguars before we get to the next story. They need to figure something out between this Trevor Lawrence, Brian Thomas Jr. connection. I don't know what was going on. And I'll also say this about Liam Cohen. Like, going for it on that 4th and 5 when they were up by 3, usually I like to be aggressive. Usually I like going for it. But against the backup quarterback, I would much rather make him drive the length of the field to score the touchdown. I know he did, and a lot of people say, well, he did it. That's why it was justified to go for it. It's different when in the back of your mind, you know that a field goal gets you to overtime, as opposed to saying, I need to score the touchdown. Psychologically, it's way different, as opposed to being down by 3. So I would have kicked the field goal and said, you know what, drive the length of the field, I dare you, as opposed to going for it there and only having a 3-point lead, which then you went ahead and lost the game because of that 3-point lead. So wild game, unfortunate ending, though, with Joe Burrow now out for the next 3 months. Bill, hit me with the next one.
All right, Femi, we got two more quarterback injuries to discuss. Next one here, not as serious as the Joe Burrow injury. Yeah, just two more. Not as serious as the Joe Burrow injury, but still significant. J.J. McCarthy suffered a high ankle sprain last night on Sunday Night Football in the Vikings' 22-6 loss to the Falcons. Now, McCarthy, despite being NFC Player of the Week in Week 1, he has struggled in 7 of the 8 quarters of football, but now the second-year QB is going to be on the shelf. According to Adam Schefter, the Vikings are expecting it to be a 2-4-week injury, which means the Vikings turn to Carson Wentz, who will square off against the Bengals, and Jake Browning in a battle of the QB2s in Week 3.
I mean, NFC Player of the Week, J.J. McCarthy. Like, it was ridiculous back then, and it's aging like milk. Because what we saw last night was brutal. It was brutal. And I don't want to crush him too much because I know it's just his second start in his NFL career. But man, he did not look like he was just like there. It was disjointed. He looked lost. It looked like his head was spinning. Was never comfortable. And I'd be curious to know when this injury took place. Like, if it was like in the second quarter or the third quarter or whatever. Because like, it just did not look comfortable at all. And this is against a Falcons defense where, yeah, they invested a lot of young talent into those pass rushers. And they went ahead to shore up the defense on the back end as well. But like, this is not the 85 Bears. This is not like the Eagles this year or some of these other defenses that you kind of have to be fearful of. It's the Falcons at home, indoors, friendly confines. How can you not be able to string drives together? They couldn't do anything the minute they snipped the red zone. McCarthy, like, he was dying to turn the ball over last night, as he had 3 of them, by the way. Like, it was horrendous. And honestly, right now, here on September 15th, like, I'm not sure who's better, Carson Wentz or J.J. McCarthy. Like, you can make an argument, and I'll definitely hear it out, that Carson Wentz, as of this moment, is actually better than J.J. McCarthy. That's how bad he was yesterday. And I'm looking at the betting market right now because this has kind of gone many different ways once this news came out. Like, the Cincinnati Bengals are only catching 2.5 now on the road. Mind you, Jay Browning is their starting quarterback. We just got done talking about Joe Burrow. So it's Carson Wentz against Jay Browning, and Carson Wentz is laying 2.5. Like, if I had to bet the game, and I don't know, I'm probably going to talk myself in and out of this game all throughout the course of the week, but my first inclination would be to bet Minnesota. Like, that would be my first inclination. We'd be like, hey, I actually think they might even be making a small upgrade at quarterback. Because, like, McCarthy was lost, and he never looked comfortable. And Wentz, he's terrible, but he's played a bunch of football, and he at least has experience, more experience than someone like Jake Browning has, and he's at home, and he doesn't have to go up against Brian Flores' defense. Jake Browning does. He gets to go up against the Al Golden defense of the Cincinnati Bengals, which is terrible. So, like, first inclination, I actually think this might be a spot to back Minnesota. Let's see what happens. The rest of the injury report, the Vikings had a bunch of injuries on the O-line, bunch of injuries on defense. Like, if the injury report looks relatively clean for the Vikings, I'll probably end up betting them. But for J.J. McCarthy, maybe this ends up being a blessing in disguise to where he plays a couple games, gets a chance to take a step back for a month, reassess, get a little bit more comfortable, watch some tape, and then get back out on the field, because the guy we saw last night, he couldn't even function. KOC's dialing up wide open guys down the field, and he's airmailing them by 5 yards. You cannot have that. That's unacceptable at the NFL level. So maybe this ends up being a blessing in disguise for young J.J. McCarthy. Bill, hit me with the next one.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, another quarterback injury here, Femi. Following the Commanders' loss to the Green Bay Packers on Thursday night, reportedly Jaden Daniels underwent an MRI, and he has been diagnosed with a sprained knee. Now, Femi, the Commanders don't consider this a long-term injury. However, according to NFL Network's Ian Rapoport, his status for this Sunday's game against the Raiders is in doubt.
Whew, man, I mean, this one came out of nowhere, obviously. like the McCarthy one came out of nowhere. The Daniels one has come out of nowhere. Let's find out later on in the week what this looks like. We're going to get the first practice report on Wednesday, then we'll get one on Thursday, and then one on Friday. But, man, if there's no Jaden Daniels for this game, I mean, what a coup this is for the Las Vegas Raiders, right? Like, as somebody like me who's on this Raiders kick, and I like the Raiders to make the playoffs, if they could ever upset the Chargers tonight, all of a sudden you're 2-0 going across the country on a short week and you don't have to face Jaden Daniels. It could be Marcus Mariota. Like, man, like, that's a chance to go 3-0. That's insane that this is the run out for the Raiders potentially. But for Washington, I don't think this team is going anywhere without Jaden Daniels. And, like, you don't need me to tell you that. Like, you could just watch the games. You can see how much Jaden Daniels carries this team and what is asked of him. And Marcus Mariota, like, that's a guy, okay, yeah, he's played a bunch of football, he's even started multiple playoff games, okay, but he's also like one hit away from being injured. Like, you want to talk about somebody who's a little bit more fragile? That's Marcus Mariota. And I wouldn't trust him out there even against a softer Raiders defense at home. To me, it'd be a little bit of a lean to the over just because that number's come down with this Daniels news. Now we're sitting at 44.5 pretty much across the board. There's even a 43.5, by the way. So, like, let's kind of like get more confirmation that it's going to be Mariota. But if it is Mariota, I might actually play like a little bit of a contrarian over with this game just because I don't know if I trust this Raiders defense on the road. And I do think that the Raiders offense could find success. Now, this is obviously sight unseen. Let's make sure those Raiders guys get through tonight's game healthy. But if they do, and if they're looking good, I think that it's a nice setup for the Raiders and also a nice setup for the over come Sunday in our nation's capital. Bill, hit me with the next one.
I mean, let's talk about a game here for a change. How about the end of this Giants-Cowboys game? Now, I know you and Nick were sweating this one as you had them in Survivor, so you were glued to this finish. It was wild. 41 fourth quarter points. 5 fourth quarter lead changes. Brandon Aubrey ties this thing as time expires with a 64-yard field goal. That's the third longest in NFL history, but only Aubrey's second career long. And then Aubrey wins it as time expires in overtime. Cowboys 40, Femi. Giants 37.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that takes years off your life. like this is the kind of stuff that really gets you going on a Sunday afternoon. I was sweating. like, I was absolutely sweating this game yesterday afternoon. And I was telling Bill this earlier this morning as we're talking about what we want to do for the show today. My fandom was not why I was sweating. I know the Cowboys aren't going to do really anything this year. Like, they're a mediocre team. Maybe they win 8 games, maybe 9 at most. Like, this has nothing to do with the Dallas Cowboys. It had everything to do with that damn Survivor entry that we had with me and Nick and Tyler. And like, just like, are we really going to go out on the New York Giants? It was just an absolute roller coaster. 6 lead changes in the fourth quarter. 6. Like, when do you see that? 41 points scored in the fourth quarter. It was an absurd game. And shout out to Brandon Aubrey. Like, if we are ever lucky enough to win Survivor, that man, the jersey's going up right behind me, the Brandon Aubrey jersey, because that man saved our ass. 64-yarder, bang, as time expires in regulation. And then he hits the 46-yarder to win it as time expired in overtime when it looked like we were headed towards a tie. Like, Russell Wilson was so locked in, 450 yards, until he decided to just lose his mind and chuck one down the field to Donovan Wilson, where it's like, bro, like, I know you want to hit Malik Nabers. Dude, there's 2 guys down there. What are you thinking, man? Like, I guess every deep ball was working to that point, so he just said, bleep it, Malik down there somewhere. He wasn't. It was Donovan Wilson, and it saved our bacon as the Cowboys win the game. There's much more to unpack from that game. Maybe we'll talk about it a little bit later on with Nick in the show, but my goodness. What a game that we saw yesterday afternoon. And I cannot believe the Cowboys somehow won the game. I bet the -5. Could not care less about my bet on the spread. But it kept us alive in Survivor. And we are moving on to week 3, where I'm sure we'll do some other crazy stuff that'll make us sweat next Sunday. All right, on the other side, let's set the table for tonight's Monday Night Football doubleheader. Bucks at the Texans, Chargers at the Raiders. And then we'll do NFL quick hits with all the games from yesterday in the National Football League.
We'll be right back with You Better You Bet on the BetMGM Network. Make it legendary.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.